Welcome to another 122nd Black Snake podcast. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser, First Sergeant, Maintenance Squadron. And on air with us today are our famous chaplains on base and their assistants. Just want to tell you a little bit more about themselves. So, Chaplain Freese, go ahead and kick it off to us.
Thank you, Sergeant Kaiser. I'm Chaplain Michael Freese. I am the wing chaplain at the 122nd Fighter Wing. I serve as the supervisory chaplain for four other chaplains and a religious affairs airman. I've been out here since 2013. Love serving this unit and the great people who serve with
me. Master Sergeant Aaron Springer. I'm actually born and raised in Fort Wayne. So I've been at the unit since October of 1999, relatively old, have served both in maintenance and as a religious affairs airman. So I'm the senior enlisted leader for our chapel team here.
I learned the unique balance between the enlisted chaplain corps and the officer chaplain corps. So I hope we dive into that a little bit today. What all are the services the chaplains provide for our airmen and maybe their families?
Our primary duty in the military is to provide religious services. In the Constitution, we protect the free exercise of religion for all people, no matter what their faith is. And so chaplains are really on the front line in the military to make sure that military members can exercise their faith according to their conscience. Now, each chaplain is endorsed by a particular religion and or denomination, but we provide the opportunity for worship for all faiths, even those that aren't in sync with what we personally believe. We make sure that an airman can get the religious services and religious resources that he or she needs. So that's our primary role. We are religious professionals in the military so that we can provide for those services for the airmen here at the base, and then also in particular in a deployed location when there are not civilian clergy or religious leaders available. That's the number one service. The number two service that chaplains and religious affairs airmen provide is unit visitation. So we get outside of our offices. We go into the units and we get to know the leaders and the airmen in each unit so that we can build a rapport, so that we can get to know them, know what their strengths and cares and concerns, and then learn how we can best serve those particular units. We work very closely with the leadership, with first sergeants like yourself, with commanders, with chiefs. We like to work our schedule into the training schedule of those individual units so that we can be with them when it's most convenient and most useful. We make sure that on a drill weekend, we divide up our chaplains and religious affairs airmen to get out into the units so we can be out there face-to-face with them. So that's the number two service. Third service that we provide, which is very important in the military because it's unique to the chaplain corps, and that's pastoral counseling. Now, there are counselors that airmen can go see on base and off base, but chaplains provide a very particular service in pastoral counseling because the U.S. government has given us 100% confidentiality. It's called privileged communication, and it means that an airman can or a family member can come tell us anything, and we have no required mandated reporting. So if they are dealing with big things in life and they don't know who to go to, the chaplain office is a very safe place to come so that they can discuss that with us and we can be advisors. So we take the information that they give us and we don't distribute it or push it anywhere else. It's their information. We are simply a sounding board for them and can be good advisors for them. We provide basic pastoral counseling, so basic counseling. But if someone needs longer-term counseling, we get them in touch with other resources that are more able to address their particular needs. That's one particular service that is unique to the chaplain corps that no one else can provide. And then the fourth and final one, chaplains and religious affairs airmen are advisors to command. The hope is that because of our unit visitation, because of our pastoral counseling, because of us being out in the unit, we can get a good sense of what the strengths and struggles are within small groups at the base or even the larger units at the base, and be a good sense for the command teams to how people are doing. Is morale high? Is morale low? Are there particular struggles and stressors that the command needs to be aware of? These are things that we try to keep in the back of our mind when we're walking around and talking with people, so that we can then sit down one-on-one with command teams and give them a sense of what we're seeing, what we're hearing. So those are the four primary services of our chaplain's office.
What I would like to add is just a little bit more about what religious affairs airmen do within kind of this context. Probably hear me saying religious affairs airmen versus chaplain assistant. A couple of years ago, our career field has went through a rebranding to change the name away from this chaplain assistant to religious affairs airmen. Kind of going back in the history of the career field, chaplains are non-combatants, so they do not carry weapons. The chaplain assistant back then was typically the combatant arm that would go wherever the chaplain went with them, right? To help them and kind of be a bodyguard, which is a role that we still kind of fulfill today. But more at home station and we're working together, each of the chaplains and religious affairs airmen work together as what's called a religious support team. So we're working as a team together. Chaplain Fries and I make up the senior RST for our unit. What we're doing there is while he's out doing some of those visitations and things, I'm working closely with kind of the enlisted folks that are around and building relationships at different levels. So maybe I have a lieutenant colonel that's going in to talk to senior airmen. They might feel a little bit intimidated to talk to him, and I can go help build some of those relationships. It's just kind of a little bit of what that religious affairs airman role looks like.
So with those walk-arounds, each unit or group has a chaplain. I think ours is Chaplain Bruner. Medical has Chaplain Bearden. And then Colonel Fries, what's your unit?
Yeah, the units that I serve are the Fighter Wing Staff, which is the base leadership, Fighter Squadron, over in Ops Group. We have divided each of the five chaplains out to squadron and group levels.
Yeah.
And that way, they have a smaller group of leadership and airmen to get to know. There can be a more personal connection between a chaplain and his or her units.
Yeah, I really like that. The shirts have tried to get involved, and we're bridging that prevention piece to get you guys with us when we're doing walk-arounds, and I think it's been successful, in my opinion.
Yes.
I really like that.
Well, that's always helpful when we can team up with the shirts.
Yeah.
That's always a good team. You're getting out and seeing and communicating with airmen in a slightly different way, mm-hmm. but always with the mind of taking care of airmen.
Yeah.
And so we share that together.
Yeah. And you get to go with us and find all the nooks and crannies too, right?
That's right.
So when are some of the worship services? I see a sign on your door, but maybe someone can't get over here. They don't know where the chapel is. When are some of your services and what do you offer?
Great question. Because we provide for the free exercise of religion, we want to hold worship services on drill weekends. And that really is where we limit our services. Because we're a traditional guard base, we're here in a community. We chaplains and religious affairs airmen love to support local churches and local worship communities. I will always refer people out for their daily religious care to a civilian worshiping community, whether that's a church, a synagogue, a mosque, whatever their particular religious needs are. We love to support what's in the community. However, on a drill weekend, because it's such an intense training environment, we want to offer services on that weekend. And so we do. We offer a Protestant service at 9:30 on Sunday morning in Building 780 in the headquarters building. We have a designated room that we set up as a chapel. So we have the Protestant service, which kind of covers all Christians at 9:30. It's usually and almost exclusively a service of the word, where we have readings from Holy Scripture. We might have a religious hymn or a song, psalms, prayers, and then a Christian message from the chapel. So that usually lasts about a half hour. We have a mass for Roman Catholic airmen at 10:30 in the same room. The Roman Catholic chaplain, Chaplain Meinzen, provides mass for our airmen. Now, when I was first here in 2013, I quickly realized that because there's 1 month of training crammed into 2 days, that, like you said, it's difficult for airmen to break away from their training environments and come to a building that could be a half mile away from where they're working. And so even the commute time, the travel time, would be prohibitive for them to come to worship. we set up a series of devotions spread out around the base that we named deployed devotions. Now we call them deployed devotions because we deploy away from the chapel and go out into the work areas. And the idea behind it is that we would hold a 15-minute devotion where there would be a reading from Scripture, maybe a short message, and then a prayer, so that even the busiest airman could potentially get to one of these devotions. And we have, I believe, on a weekend now, 9 different opportunities for those. From all 5 chaplains, they go out and provide these. And what's been very important, working with first sergeants, chiefs, and commanders, is finding that right time in their training weekend for these. We've gained a lot of momentum with this. We've started to build this into their training calendar, and we're getting more and more people that come to these opportunities. So that's our worship life on a weekend. 2 services, set services that last about a half hour, and then 9 deployed devotions, which are about 15-minute devotions in the workspace.
That's really awesome. Those deployed devotions, are they in break rooms? How do you set those up?
Yeah, we try to put it in the most convenient spot in different buildings than the headquarters building. Right. We didn't want people to have to always leave their work area and come to the headquarters building. We wanted to go out. So there's one in Age. There's one in the motor pool. There's one over in MXG, CE, LRS, the ops group, medical group, FSS, POL. I know that there's a lot of acronyms there, but those are the different units around our base. And those are strategically located to be centralized to other buildings. We have so many buildings and so many smaller units, we can't do a deployed devotion in every spot. So we try to choose those that are close and they can come and join us.
They'll have to find out what those acronyms are if they come out here and join us, right?
That's right. Yeah, for those of you who don't wear the uniform, those might sound like strange unit names, but you'll mm-hmm. learn it when you come out.
Right. So chaplains are part of a state conference, and it's called Strong Bonds. Can you tell us a little bit more about our Strong Bonds and how airmen can sign up?
Yes. So Strong Bonds are really kind of at the core about building strong relationships in building, I guess, good kind of self-confidence and just personal skills. Strong Bonds are events that can range from a 4-hour event up to a 2-day overnight event for families, couples, and just individuals on their own. We, as the Chaplain Corps, help to facilitate those, basically different kinds of trainings. What it would look like, so for say, let's say a family event, would typically be held at, we try to go to fun places like a ski resort, a water park, things like that where we have fun things to go do. We would arrive on a Friday night, have a small get together then, have kind of class and coursework available for Saturday morning and Sunday morning, and then the rest of your time is available for you and your family to go out and kind of, you know, exercise the new skills that you learn through the coursework. They're open to all military members, and so I do want to be very clear for the military folks that if you are signing up, any dependents that would be coming to this, so that would be the families and the couples events, need to be registered within DEERS. Once you're signed up, and we can send out sign up links, will come out through for us in all base email. But once you're signed up, the hotel is covered, meals are covered. Typically, whatever events, if we're doing the family water park, some of the skiing might be covered. It's all free, and it really is just kind of building up that resilience through relationships and families and couples.
Sergeant Springer gave a good rundown of our Strong Bonds program. We couple that special time. So many of our programs are weekend long. Show up on a Friday night, join together on a Saturday to engage good curriculum, good training material that would facilitate whatever relationship we're focusing on that weekend. Then we give quite a bit of free time on Saturday for them just to enjoy. If it's a single airman event, then enjoy time doing some kind of activity, relaxing at a resort. Or if it's a couple event, to give couples time just to relax, get away from the normal everyday life of laundry and work and chores, just to enjoy each other for a while. And then the family events, the same. To give parents a time to reconnect or connect with their children away from home. So we usually try to pick resorts or hotels that will be conducive to relaxation and fun.
Yeah. Strong bonds, strong families, I think, is what the initiative is. That connection piece, spark new conversation, and just different materials to help connect again.
Yes.
Yeah. And if I could add just a little bit to that, I think, you know, one of the things that we're trying a little bit differently this year is really kind of focusing on some of the individual events. So those will be more 4-hour events that are more local here, still hitting some of that curriculum. When I'm saying individual, understand that that could be, it's just for a person. It could be for a married person that's going there to work on themselves, different things. So, and again, those events are going to a combat ops, laser tag, bowling, coupled with the curriculum. So
sign me up. I haven't done that one yet. Really enjoy Strong Bonds. We've gotten to participate in Great Wolf Lodge, Kalahari Water Park. I know there's been a ski resort.
Yes.
And then it's all pushed through you guys. And I know, Sergeant Springer, you and I have worked directly together in making sure it's fair as it can be, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It is hard. You want everyone to come, but right. There's a commitment within your part, too. And there's that ownership, too.
Yeah, it is really. Chaplain Priest talked when he came back in 2013, right? The Strong Bonds program was 3 or 4 couples that it was just kind of getting rolling. Now, it's pretty typical for us to get, we only have availability generally for about 30 families or couples, however that would go. For the most part, we will get 40 to 60 signups.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a challenge for us. What we do there is we try to give priority to deployers going to deploy or just returning from a deployment priority. And then it's kind of, and then it goes, if you've been on one previously, we try to look at how recently you've been on a Strong Bonds event, and then first come, first serve, basically after that.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a national program that's run through the National Guard Bureau. Apply for money from them. We give them our plan, and they push us money. One of the chief goals for the whole program is to make sure that due to the stress of being in the military and the separations that are sometimes mandatory for the military, that we can provide a service to reconnect families after a separation, where they can step away with us and process some very big emotions on what it means to deploy for 6 months and be separated from your family and then come and reintegrate back together, whether that's with a spouse or children or even with colleagues and friends if you're not currently married.
Yeah. What is something someone listening could take back to their unit, workplace, home, family? What's some extra words of wisdom you can give us today?
Well, I would say concentrating upon spiritual health. In the military, we're very focused upon physical health and mental health, emotional health, and then also being trained properly for your duties, for what you do in the military. It's hard to imagine a military that doesn't focus on physical training, for instance.
Right.
Staying in shape, running, push-ups, sit-ups, being physically capable to do your job. We couldn't imagine a military where you're not professionally able to do your job, where you've had all the right school, you know how to do what you're called to do in the military. What I would send airmen back to their workplaces, and what I would tell others contemplating the military, is you must also be spiritually strong. There are difficulties that happen in life that you're not in control of all the time. And when those times happen, you need to be able to fall back on a foundation that's bigger than yourself. And that's where I would encourage people to reach into a spiritual strength, a spiritual foundation. For me, I'm a Christian chaplain. That is falling back on my Christian faith. That's how I make sense of the world. When good things happen, when bad things happen, I see them through the lens of my Christian faith. And that gives me strength to enjoy them to their fullest, or to endure the suffering and to come through it. If you are not in a spiritual strength or resilience that you need to be to take on life's challenges, that's what I would encourage you to do. Seek out that faith-strengthening group or belief according to your conscience. Use the time now to prepare for the challenges that will inevitably come in the future. And for us in the chaplain's office, we're here to help with that. We can be advisors on that. If you have questions on how to become spiritually strong and spiritually resilient. Those are the conversations we love to have in our office. We would love to entertain comments, questions, and help make a plan on what that will look like for you. So that's what I would send people back to their workplace with.
What's one thing each of you might share with someone if someone was looking to come in or get out or just maybe a new path?
I guess, you know, for me, so I actually did have a break in service. I was out, and one of the major drivers for me getting back in was health insurance, the ability to have the TRICARE Reserve Select health insurance. My family, for the 1 week and a month commitment, a game changer for us in our life where we were at.
The benefits, and then the people keep you, don't they?
Yeah.
I would like to talk specifically about chaplains or future chaplains and why I would encourage them to look to the Guard. That really revolves around a wide spectrum of service. So to become a chaplain, you need to already have a Master's of Divinity degree, which is highest degree in any denomination or religion that authorizes you to be a religious leader. So a pastor in my Christian context. So you already need to go through all the steps for that, and then you need to be endorsed by a particular denomination or religion to be a chaplain in the military. Coming from the civilian ministry into the chaplaincy, there is a new door that opens for connecting with people. And I find that an exciting challenge. So I would encourage any pastors who are currently serving in civilian ministries to consider the chaplaincy, look into their current ministries and lives to see if that might be right for them at that time. I have found it highly rewarding. In my introduction at the very beginning of this podcast, I just mentioned that I had come to the Guard in 2013, but I had previously served in the active duty Army as a chaplain for 7 years. So there's a number of ways to serve in the military as a pastor or as a religious leader. All are growth opportunities. I've grown quite a bit in my 17 years in the military, and I attribute that to the challenges and the joys of being able to put on this uniform and serve men and women in our armed forces with spiritual strength. And again, for me, for a witness to my Christian, provide services for all airmen, no matter what they particularly believe. So I would encourage current pastors to look into the military. But for any high school student or college student who is thinking about a career in ministry or in theological service, I would invite them to come out to the base, to the 122nd, get a hold of a recruiter who can get a hold of us, and we can take them on a tour and give them an introduction to what life is like providing religious services to the men and women of our armed forces, a rewarding service.
Chaplain Freeze, that was beautiful. I think, too, it's been very rewarding to get to work with this office as well. It really elevated my career, being a first sergeant, to get to work with you.
Oh, it's a good team.
Yeah. So with that, Black Snakes, you have it. Your Chaplain Affairs Office, what they can do for you. We want this to be the fastest growing military podcast out there, and that's because of people like you. So share the show, and until next time, Black Snakes out.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.